a complete no-brainer, obviously, that you've got Nick Nurse signed to a contract extension. And Al, we were saying right before that you came on the air with us, now that Nick Nurse is signed up, I've got to imagine that ownership, the Board of Governors with MLSE, they've got to be, you know, doing everything I would assume imaginable to make sure that they lock up Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster as well.
Yeah, I mean, that it goes in what we've been talking about a long time on the radio, off air, and everything. When you're forming what you call a winner and an elite franchise, the stability, the consistency has to be there, right? And what the Raptors have and MLSE have developed and created over time is something that you have to mention in the breadth of the past five to seven, 8 years as one of the top franchises, I believe, from top to bottom, whether it's the players, management, ownership, and everything. So you continue that. You want to continue that. You want to keep it strong, but the foundation is there now. And once again, I think they're going about it the right way by extending your coach and now your management. And now you got to look at the players and see where you're going to go in the future.
Yeah, I think that's the next step, Al, but I agree with you in terms of the stability. Al, I want to ask you, go back to Game 7, because we had somebody tweeted in and asked us about it, and it was kind of 3-4 days ago, so Eric and I really didn't get into it, but the last few plays, I mean, the Raptors did a great job defensively holding Boston without a score, without a basket, for 4:51, and they had some turnovers in there, but they were down three. It was 90-87, and they bring it down, and Fred has a contested three that doesn't make it to the rim. And, you know, I got into a discussion with one of my buddies who's, I'll admit, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but he's a bit of a newbie. And he said, oh, you know, like, you got to work that around and get a three. I said, no, you didn't necessarily have to get a three. Boston was 1 of 4 on their last four free throw attempts between Tatum and Grant Williams. If you take the quick two and you foul, they might help you out, miss one, both. Even if they make two, now you got to have the three. My own philosophy was, I don't really go for the three unless I have to, or if they're falling asleep and I can get it in a surprise by running something good. But, I mean, I know that's philosophical, but just your thoughts, Al. And you were a guy that had your hands on the ball in situations like that.
Mm-hmm. In that position, you're absolutely right. You go for the quick score because you know it's a two-possession game regardless, right? You're going to get another opportunity if you make it or you miss and you have to foul or whatever the case may be to get that ball back. But to what you look at, what you see is an example of today's game. Today's game is not a thinking man's game or a strategy. It's more of a system. And it's more of a style of play that's conducive to everybody to make a decision. And where it was back in the day, where your point guard, and this goes with the value of Kyle, because I think it would be a total different possession if someone like Kyle was there, if Kyle was in that game at that juncture. But this game is taught to play a certain way. And when it comes to strategy, you start seeing a lot of three-point shots. And we've talked about it, Josie, as well.
Yeah.
You don't need a three in that position. Let's keep attacking. Let's keep attacking. Let's keep going to the same play until they stop it. Like, that strategy is out the window now. It's more of an autonomy, or it's a type of offense where everyone has the same ability to make that decision or type of play. And I think that's where some offenses get bogged down. Some offenses become unpredictable because certain players have the right and the freedom to do whatever they like to do at that position. Because at that point, you get the quick basket, you go for the best shot available, and then you foul and get the ball back, and then you go for broke. And I think that's how you play that game out.
Al, do you think in today's game there is more, I don't know if trust is the right word, there's more leeway, there's more leash for the players than there was even in your day, let alone if we go back how many years and talk about the coach truly being the you know, the one calling the shots, oftentimes the dictator. Do you think that there's more freelance opportunities and more leeway now for players today?
Oh, for sure. For sure, man. I mean, and accountability isn't there as much, right? If you're not playing if you're not shooting well, for instance, if you're 1-for-8, 1-for-9, and guys are still shooting three-point shots, that was just something that was so different back then. Like, you could not do it. And you had to be a three-point shooter in order to take a three. Everyone's not shooting three. In order for you to be considered a three-point shooter, your percentages will have to be high, or that had to be your reputation. But it's just a different game, and it's a catch-and-react game. So your players have three jobs to do. You pass it, shoot it, or drive it, right? There's no reading the situation as much. You still have players that do that, of course, but it's a 0.5 possession league now. It's a 0.5. As soon as you get the ball, you do something with it. Pass it, drive it, or shoot it. And now players do not have to read. They do not have to see who's the hot man. They don't have to see where's the mismatch. They don't have to see certain opportunities that, you know, traditionally we had to do back in the day. So it's more of a free-flowing game. It's a more of an equal opportunity game where it wasn't like that in the past.
Al, let me ask you to that point. Do you think that's what's hurting the Clippers? I mean, the fact that it's kind of free-flowing and there's all these possessions. They're up 16. They lose the game. I mean, we know now a 19-20-point lead in today's NBA, that's like a 10-point lead or 8-point lead back in the day, because everybody's firing threes. Everybody gets their hands on the ball, and it's. I wouldn't say it's like pickup, but as you said, there's a lot more freedom and the way the game dictates play, you can catch up in a heartbeat. But if you think about the talent that the Clippers have versus the talent that Denver has, you get up 16, 18, 19, you start milking the clock, going inside, basically dialing back the pace of the game and the possessions. How do you give up that lead? How do you give up not one, but two leads like that with the talent you have?
That's exactly what you just said. It's the strategy is not there. It's not, you know, we're going to start the game out doing this. Are we going to start the quarter out doing this? And then we get that lead. This is our bread and butter set. These are our bread and butter plays. It's not the two-man game where it would be back in the day, the two best players that have the ball in their hands and they're the decision makers, right? And then it comes down to the other side where defense is not a priority. Although Clippers are known or look like on paper they have some defensive guys, defense is still not a priority to get a stop because, right, I'm coming right back and shooting the ball. So it's all about multiple possessions. But the possessions they're not valued, right? They're not valued. They're not cherished. And that was always the biggest thing, and that was always the pressure back in the day in the playoffs again, and keep comparing the two eras. Every possession meant so much. That's why you see the games 85 to 89 and, you know, bogged down and the fouls and all those type of things, not that many turnovers. And today's game, once again, as you see the Clippers, it could be Lou Williams taking a shot. It could be Morris taking a shot. It could be Kawhi Leonard taking a shot. It could be Paul George taking a shot. And not just shots, three-pointers early in the shot clock. And once that starts to happen, now your defense isn't there. So now you're giving the other team opportunity. With the other team is a very good offensive team as well. So with that being said, there's no more management. The management of the game is not there by one player. And we saw last year with Kawhi Leonard, the luxury the Raptors had, you could give him the ball. And it was like giving Michael Jordan the ball. It was like giving Shaq the ball. He would get to his strong point, and he would shoot a very high percentage from that position, and that held the Raptors at many times to manage the game, if not take leads when their games were close. But that's what the Clippers are missing with that type of player, because Kawhi Leonard sometimes doesn't even have the ball in his hand at certain junctures of the game.
Speaking with Alvin Williams, NBA veteran and current analyst with Sportsnet, Game 1 between the Heat and Celtics goes at 6:30 Eastern tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, Game 7, Denver and the Clippers. Al, I wanted to continue to look forward here and talk about the conference finals and maybe the NBA finals, but I'm going to go back here based on something you just mentioned. You're talking about valuing the ball and valuing possessions specifically. Maybe the simple answer, Al, is anything can happen in one game in one night, and it's just one of those things. But when you've got two solid point guards, two very good ball handlers in Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, and a team that traditionally over the course of not just this season but the last number of seasons has valued the ball and valued possessions as much as the Raptors have, limited turnovers, can you explain how in Game 7 they had 18 turnovers and gave up 31 points off turnovers, which was more than a third of Boston's points?
Yeah, careless basketball. That's all you can attribute it to. But you can also say Boston defense played great defense. And once again, managing the game, looking at possessions, risk versus reward. And, you know, you hate to be a player that's hesitant and not aggressive. But there are situations where, you know what, I do not try to make this play on the first rotation or the first reversal. You want to have the ball pop, make the defense move a little bit, make people off balance, make people out of position, and then you attack. Because game seven, I don't care what series you're in, unless it's just a fluke where there's going to be a blowout, everyone knows, everyone's on tilt, everyone has their focus, and you're not going to be able to just do anything. You're not going to be able to dribble through two people. You're not going to be able to penetrate, leave your feet, and kick it out, hoping somebody's around the three-point area without Boston reacting. If you notice, Boston got so many steals that way just because they hovered around a three-point area expecting a kick out. And that, you think that's not talked about on film? That's talked about. That's a game plan. That's a strategy. And if you're a player, just like we talk about boxing as well, Jonesy, you know what I have to do. Maybe I have to do this to make you react to that and then come back to something. Where's my strength? So, once again, it's managing. And then on top of that, when you are a ball handler, when you are a big part of the game and as far as the offensive side, you make sure you're making these right decisions. You're making sure you see the game or a couple plays, two or three plays before it actually happened. And you just have to be ready to attack that way. You can't always be on go and expect that the outcome is going to be, you know, the way you want it to be. And a lot of times as fans and people from the outside, we only look at the result. So somebody could make a bonehead play, but the ball will go in and we'll excuse it. Whereas I don't care what it is. That was a bad play. Don't do that play again because you're going to pay for it at some point. So it's just the way the game, once again, is played, but it's their approach as well.
Al, it's funny because we had Eric and I had last week a couple of well-respected writers, and I guess it's philosophical, as you said, the way the game's played. And, you know, I was talking about the Raptors taking tough shots, and the counter, the retort was, well, Boston makes you do that. Well, you know what? If I'm getting a little bit of penetration and pitching the ball and it's moving and you get it back inside, you're going to get a layup or you're going to, as you said, pitch it out for an open three. But you've got to move the ball first to start all that. And I just think sometimes, I mean, that you're right. The defense is good, but you make the defense look good when you try to go on the first shot, when you haven't swung the ball, when you haven't moved people, when you haven't screened. And that defense looks impenetrable because you're allowing it to stand there. And in that same vein, Al, I think Miami has a great shot against Boston because some of their three-point shooters, those guys put the ball on the floor the same way the Raptor guys did. Raptors just didn't make shots, but Miami's got some guys that can make shots.
Yeah, no, for sure, at a high level. And they, once again, they have a structure. That's going to be another great series. And the fact that the Raptors, it came down to a series where the Raptors and Boston were, it was so evenly matched, and they had similar styles of play, and it came down to Game 7, just like in 2001, man, like us in the Sixers. It just came down to a Game 7 last shot, and that's all you can ask for, right? Just the team, you may be better than a team, but on that particular night, they were a second or what possession before better than us. And that's what that Raptors series came down. And we can look at it and say, they should have did this, they should have did that. And, of course, and once again, it's the result. Because there's so many times where I was looking at Freddie, like, come on, man, don't shoot that. And then he would make the three. But then I'm like, damn, but I know what that's going to look like later on. And right. Then, you know, it'd be a game where he'll make three or four of those things, but it just wasn't a good shot. But once again, it's so you got to adjust to the style of play now where these players do – that's how they're playing, the three-point shot, off the dribble, in transition, off the offensive rebound, things like that. And unfortunately enough, Boston just outplayed the Raptors, you know, at the end of that game. That play by Marcus Smart, man, where, you know, how he adjusted when Norm Powell was coming at him. Game 6, when Norm Powell ran up his chest and laid them up, and we pretty much closed the game and got the and one. And then game seven, it was an identical play, but he let Norm go past him a little bit and recovered. That's another adjustment that players make day in and day out. That's why teams are winning. That was a winning play from what happened in game six. The result of game six made game that block in game seven happen. So it was just one of those things. But to your point, I know I went off on a tangent, but, yeah, Miami definitely has a great opportunity to win that series.
Al, in closing here, maybe, you know, I don't know if I'm speaking on behalf of all three of us. I don't think Denver's winning tonight. I think you've given full marks for coming back in the series. I think, you know, in spite of everything we talked about, the Clips, I think they get it done tonight. But let's just, for argument's sake, say whether it's the Nuggets, whether it's the Clippers, whether it's the Lakers, does Boston or Miami have a chance against the West in the finals?
I definitely believe so. I believe the game, the way it's played, and the two teams from Miami to Boston, they have some very talented players. They have very talented players. When you look at Bam Adebayo and you look at Jimmy Butler, as I think I would consider them the most talented players on Miami. And then you look at somebody like a Tatum, and you look at Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker. Man, those are players that can win a game. And not alone win a game, those teams can win a series. So I believe they definitely have a good chance of winning it all if they get to that point.